Hi, my beautiful people. This is Bimi Shavery, and I am here with your daily devotion. We are on day 11. If you are new here, welcome, welcome, welcome. If you have been a subscriber, a follower, a part of the tribe for a while, we have been doing this for going on 6 years. I want to tell you guys, thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I love seeing your feedback. Yes, I am reading and catching up on a lot of your emails. I love your testimonials. I am very excited about what is happening in everybody's life because I'm excited about what's happening in mine. It makes me excited. A lot of us, we haven't seen the full fruition of what we've been praying for and asking for, but it just feels so good because it feels so close. There's so many things that are happening that are really going on around the world, right? That are causing us to, we can easily be distracted. We can easily be overwhelmed. We can easily be in this state of fear and really feel like we are just, you know, out of sorts. However, we should be focusing on our fast. We should be focusing on what it is that we are in alignment with, right? Because we are being intentional. We're praying. We're asking God to give us advice. We are asking God to give us clarity. We're asking God to show up in ways that we can't ask in a norm, right? We can't just go up to God and knock on the door and say, hey, God, can you tell me what's going on? No. So we're having to dedicate so much of ourselves. We're having to really dedicate so much of our mind, our energy and everything. And it's difficult to do when you have life going on because you have families, you got jobs, you have responsibilities, you have school, you have things that are going on that are really, really, really. And a lot of us are just engulfed in just so much happening around the world. The world is being affected by so much. Layoffs are happening, okay, massively. There are people who are really trying to stay above ground, trying to stay above water. There's so much calamity happening all around us. But this is why we have to focus on what we can control. Okay. And that is what this fast is doing for us. And so reading your emails and reading your DMs, I'm not on social media. So if you guys are, I kind of, you know, skimmed through a couple today, but if you are sending me DMs on Instagram or Facebook or anything like that right now, I am not reading them. I am only going on there to share my, in the story, the podcast episode. That's the only thing I'm doing on there. I am literally trying to be off of social media during this fast because I don't want to be distracted. I don't want to be overwhelmed. I don't want my energy to be pulled in multiple directions. So if I haven't, which I'm sure I haven't responded to many of you, it is not because I'm ignoring you. So if you see that I read something, but I haven't responded, it is not because I'm leaving you on read. It's not because I'm ignoring you. It is because I am really in this fast with you. And I shouldn't have even saw it. And I didn't really read it fully. I skimmed through and I just got off. Okay. So I want you to know that once the fast is over, I will definitely be tuning in and responding as much as I can. If I'm not answering what it is that you're saying on the podcast. Okay. So just know that I'm not ignoring anybody, but I am deeply, I'm praying, fasting and believing for some things too. So I am in this with you. We are in this together, but I am proud of you guys. I want you to know, I am literally praying with you. We are walking, talking and breathing and doing this thing together. Okay. There are just a lot of things happening, right? There's a lot of beautiful things happening. And so as I'm reading in, my Bible, right, I'm reading and y'all know, I like to dramatize things. However, I just read it verbatim, right? I try to read it and try to dig and I highlight it and I try to get a full scope of what is happening in the particular verse. However, there's this verse that I'm going to read to you, this part of, and I'll do the actual devotion from the devotional at the end. But I feel, okay, very, very strongly that one of the things that God is requiring of us right now, because today I got up and I was able to, like, you know, I just felt very energized. I felt very blessed. I felt like it was just this energy of I just felt good. And one of the things that made me feel better was that, yes, I'm in Texas and I'm trying to prep for the winter mix thing that's supposed to be happening on Sunday, right? So we're going to have freezing temperatures, it's going to be cold, it's not going to be the greatest of climate, et cetera, so on. However, I'm outside and I felt just so the air, it felt good. The community, my community felt good. I was in my backyard. I talked to my fiance today. I felt really good and I felt really energized, even though I am praying for something to happen. I need something from God. I'm also just so grateful. Like today was just, I felt it so heavily. Like, God, thank you. Thank you for the resources I have. Thank you for the blessing. Thank you for covering me. Thank you for the favor. Thank you for turning it around. Thank you for putting people in position to do for me what I'm not capable of doing for myself right now. Right. And it's not that I can't because I'm enabled to. It's just that some places, there's some rooms your name is being spoken in. There's some resources. Being a resource is really what I am about. I'm about connectivity. I'm about having the tools, having the people, having the things. Right. But there are some things that I can't reach. And because I can't reach them, God blesses me by blessing me with the people who can. And so here I am, you know, just so grateful for everything. Just grateful that God is like showing his favor in so many different ways. And so one of the things that's standing out to me, well, two of the things that are standing out to me is, one, are you listening to God properly? Are you listening for him the way he speaks to you? You know, a lot of times we get in this space where we're asking God or hoping and praying and we're fasting and we're like, God, I'm not hearing anything. Where are you? But you're trying to hear him from a space that someone is saying that he'll speak to you. If he speaks to me in my dreams, he also speaks to me in other ways. He speaks to me by being out in nature. He speaks to me just standing and walking, or I'll hear something and it's like, I am a different, I receive things differently. God speaks to you in a very strategic way that he knows you will hear him. So as you are praying and prepping and fasting and all of these things, and you're saying you're not hearing or you're wanting to hear from him, you have to ask yourself, are you listening to God correctly? Are you listening for him correctly? And also, are you paying attention to where you've sown your seeds before? Because what you are reaping, what you are about to find in your harvest, right? You may not find that particular result where it is you're looking. Sometimes we're sowing and we're being good and we're expecting, like, for instance, if you borrowed something from someone or you lended something to someone, you're hoping that person comes through and gives you that money. But maybe God is not using that avenue. Maybe you've sown a seed last year sometime where you have helped out a person who was not capable of even helping you at all. Maybe you opened the door. You did a good gesture. Maybe you were speaking life into someone. Maybe you were sharing something that you had with someone. Maybe your presence alone was a gift in a space you didn't even realize it was a gift in. This is where you have to be aware that in everything, and I preach this as much as I possibly can. I preach this as if I'm a preacher, but I say it over and over again, because you have to know that you are the walking fertilizer. You are the seed. You are the fertilizer. You are the sower. You are it. So wherever it is you are sowing, that is where you're going to see your harvest. But sometimes you're sowing in barren land. It doesn't matter how fertile your soil is. Okay. It doesn't matter how fertile and potent your seed is. If where you are allowing yourself to plant it is in barren land, it will not grow. And so one of the things that stood out to me is that we're in this space where we are moving forward. We're moving forward. We're moving forward. We're evolving. We're being exalted beyond where we are. And something came to me today. Like, I have been saying for weeks that I was speaking to my fiance on the phone, and I'm like, you know, I think all of these changes and shifts are happening around my career, not because of anything I particularly have done, right? Nothing I've done. I did great deeds last year. Like, when I tell you I worked my entire self off, overworked myself, broke. By this time, I was already deeply engulfed in the mission of solving and helping and contributing in a massive way. And I was prepared to go and do that again, right? But then at the end of December, I just got burnt out. I was burnt out. I was tired, right? Irritated. Overwhelmed, just so much change in 1 year, so many things happening, overextending, overcompromising, over all that, right? Just drained. Everything that's happening now is like, wait a minute. This is not a bad thing. This is a great thing. This is a wonderful thing. This is God saying, no, you need to be able to exert that energy in your home. You need to be able to exert that energy with your spouse. You need to be able to exert that in your family. You need to nurture the relationships that are coming together for you in the foundation you're building. So you cannot be so overly consumed in your career. You can't be so overly consumed with the work you do that you're so overly passionate that you invest everything you have to the point of detriment. And I'm not speaking just time. I'm speaking time. I'm speaking energy. I'm speaking resources. I'm speaking money. I'm speaking everything. Not asking for anything, head down, hardworking, overworking, late nights, all of that. But you can't do that when you have a fiance coming home from a year-long deployment and you are exhausted by the time you get home. You can't do that. You're not compensated enough for that. So there has to be a balance. So the shift that is happening when it comes to my career is necessary for what it is that's shifting in my foundation that I'm building at home. Because this means that I have to create priorities. I have to have boundaries. I cannot. Being in certain positions and certain roles require a lot out of you, and a lot of it without having a heart mostly. Like, you have a heart, but it has to be limited. You can't care so much. And there are some things I do very well. I do everything that I put my head into, I do very well, but it takes a lot out of me. It takes a lot out of me to give everything I have into something, and I'm not getting filled back in that way that I need to, but I have to replenish myself. So you get into this space where you're overgiving, you're overcompensating, you're overcompromising, long days, long nights, sacrificing everything. And I could do that because it's just me at home, but it won't be just me at home come spring. So I have to, God knows that I won't be able to pull back, because if there's something that needs to be done, I'm in it. I'm trying to get it done. I want to work it out. I can't do that and have a home that's filled with the love and the care and the things that I want. And this provides me with an opportunity to shift from this mindset, right? Not this mindset, but this way of existing as an independent woman. Now, I'm very much so an independent woman, but not by choice. And my fiance said something to me probably about 2 years ago before he proposed, right? Months before he proposed. He said something to me that really stuck out to me. And it was that he had to learn, and he's still learning how to love me, because I'm so different, right? I'm just a different woman. Okay. Yes. Glory be to God. Okay. I'm different, but he had to learn to love me because I am an alpha woman. I'm an alpha woman by nature, naturally. Very cardinal energy. I got a lot of fire, a lot of emotion. I'm just that girl. Okay. But it isn't because I've always chosen that. It's because I've always had to be that person. I've had to be emotionally intelligent and aware. I've had to be articulate. I've had to speak up. I've had to be the protector, the provider in some ways. I've had to be that strong force of energy, that defender of the people. I've had to be that. You know, I've had to be resourceful. I've had to do these things on my own. I've had to make sure I'm always okay. And so, not in an arrogant way, but just in a way that I'm going to get things done regardless to what is up against me. I'm going to get it done. And he had to learn how to love me in a way that didn't diminish the power I have as an individual, right? But made it safe enough for me to relinquish and surrender to the power he has as a man, right? That's a very unique skill set for a person, especially with the personality as mine. It's very unique, okay? But that's something that I'm also, that's bringing into my awareness. We're praying and fasting for one thing, but God is doing a multitude of things at once. He's not just shifting around advancing finances. He's not just shifting around reducing responsibility. He's not just shifting around the dynamics of the home. He's not just shifting around friend groups. He's not just shifting around the thing that you're asking, praying, and being in this sense of discipleship for. He is shifting around the entire thing. And when you look around and notice how many seeds are actually blooming around you, you realize that you've really sown a lot of seeds in really, really fertile land. And now you're reaping it in an abundance that you did not even prepare for, nor were you even aware of, because you're so focused on this one thing that you're asking God for. But what I'm feeling today is that it is a very innovative way that we're going to have to see, right? We're having to pay attention. We're having to tune in to the whispers of God's voice, because he's not coming to us through the norm. He's not speaking to us through that lens that you're assuming he's coming through. He is coming to you in a way that really is deeply, deeply rooted in your heart. These things that you really crave at the core, these things that you really need at the core, the things that are going to create the solidification of this foundation that you've been building, that's where he is. So you're not hearing him. You feel like it's too quiet. You feel like you're not seeing a lot of the fruit of your labor or your prayers and everything is not, but it is. It is. Look at the people who are stepping in and assisting you. Look at the people who are contributing to you being able to survive whatever you are in the midst of. Think about the renewals of the relationships and the clarity you're getting through conversations and the compassion you're getting. And think about the favor that you're getting. Think about your health. Think about your mental state. Think about how calm you are in the midst of everything that you may be seeing or dealing with, when you could actually be responding in a different way. Think about the fact that you don't hold any resentment, the resentment you could hold, the anger you could hold, the frustration you could exude. You don't. And today, as I was in my backyard, and I'm making sure that the pipe stuff is covered up, and I'm looking, and I'm like, God, I'm just so grateful. And I turned, going out my backyard, looking at the side of my house, and I saw the sunset. And I love things like that. To me, it's just like a whisper from God. It's a kiss. It's a hug. It's a I'm right here with you moment. And I felt that. And all I could think of was, God, thank you. Thank you. So when we're looking at our life and we're looking at what we want and what we're asking God for and what we're hoping comes into fruition, understand that there's a very unique way that he's approaching this situation, because this is a part of the foundation of your future. This is your life. This is everything. This is not just the good job. This is a job you're going to be fulfilled at, but it's also a part of the plan. You won't be sitting here comfortably. You're going to be comfortable for the moment, but you will be continuing to grow. It's something that you can start in and you can love and you can enjoy, but you can have that balance. I need that balance. I can't invest everything I have into a corporation. I can't do that anymore because my focus has shifted. It's not that I don't want to work in the corporate. I love corporation work. I am a corporate girl. Okay. Even though I have a successful nonprofit, even though I do a lot of things in the community, even though I am a mentor and I have all these accolades that have nothing to do with corporate America, in addition to the accolades that I have in corporate America, I love just doing what I am sent to do by God. I just feel like every room I enter and occupy is an assignment, right? So I give my all to it. But I'm fully aware and present as I'm approaching 40. And this is something I will share on the episodes that we have coming up after the fast about navigation through life through your 30s and how you just have a new life. You have a new insight about life. You see things differently. You approach things differently. You feel things differently. You embrace things differently because you are literally a different individual. You are different. My focus is not climbing a ladder in corporate America now, approaching 40. I've already done that. And I never was really into that because I had my hands in so many different things. It wasn't a one place that could give me the accolades I deserved. But what's very important to me is creating stability at home, having that at home, pouring that into my loved ones at home. I love that. That's what I like. That's what I want. And that's where my heart is. And so God is reaching me there. God is pointing to me there. I can't get comfortable in one space. I can't get to one place like I've given 20 years before. I can't do that in this place. I can't because I gotta be able to have this stability where it matters. So what I'm saying to you guys is, when you're looking at where it is you are and you are looking at what it is you're asking and praying and hoping God gives you, I need you to understand that it's working out for you, period. It's already began to flourish for you, period. The fact that you are in a space where everything is really covered and taken care of, God has you. God has you. And by day 11, you are seeing some fruit actually be reaped. You are actually seeing some things bloom, but you got to make sure you're looking in the right place. And if you're unsure, just be still. Be still. We can't move in agitation. We can't move in desperation. We can't move in anxiety. We got to move with ease. We got to know that God doesn't rush because we are in a rush. He goes on his own timing, but he's already been working it out. He's already been doing what he's doing. So now it's on us to just, where are you, God? Where are you? Now, I know I'm on the path, right? I know I'm in the right space. So it's somewhere around me. So let me go ahead and check through my emails. Let me go ahead and check through these text messages, right? Let me go check this mailbox. You know, where am I supposed to be looking? Who am I supposed to be calling back? Who am I supposed to be checking up on? What voicemail did I miss? Like, there is something somewhere that's already been blooming. There's already something in the works and I'm missing it, or I'm not seeing it, or I just need to be aware so I know when it comes. What is it? Because you've already told me that it's en route. You've already told me that you're doing it. And I know that it's propelling me forward. So I can't look back. It's not something in the back. It's in the forward. It's here. I'm in the right space. But where? You know, it's that type of energy. But I do feel like it is incredibly, incredibly overwhelmingly good. It's just good. Right? Whether this be an offer of a new career path, a new job, a new opportunity, right? It gives you the flexibility that you need, but most importantly, it just gives you the financial stability you need, but it also gives you the ability to be balanced, right? Give you more time, resources. If it's benefits that you're looking for, benefits that assist your family, you know, your communication with your spouse better, it's getting better, it's getting clearer. You're having more understanding. There's more compassion. There's more of this friendliness that's being, it's not just about the responsibilities we have. It's just enjoying each other, just choosing to like each other and having a good time with that, like building these friendships and actually investing in that, because there has been a lot of strife. There have been a lot of conflict. There's been a lot of death and rebirth over and over and over again. And so now it's like, God, I feel like I'm coming out of that, but where is it? Where is this energy I'm feeling? Where's this birth of newness I'm feeling? Why can't I see it? Where do I need to be looking? You know, it's this energy, but it's just knowing that you are on the right path. And it is definitely something that gives you this sense of peace and gives you this joy and gives you this sense of, you know, unity that you're needing. You're not in the wrong space. You might just not be looking where you need to be looking or listening the way you are. But there's this rebirth energy, this power, this renewal. Like, justice is served for you, baby. You getting this. It's good. There's understanding. There's communication. There's love. There's joy. There's clarity. There's peace. There's this overwhelming amount of support that is coming from all around, all because you have remained obedient. Do not let up. Don't let up. Keep at it, because I promise you it's working out so good. You can't even really comprehend how good it is. Once the floodgates open, once you start to notice the bloom, they're going to start sprouting like no other. Okay. And I'm going to go ahead and read this verse out of Matthew for you before we get into the daily devotion and close out this episode. But I feel like this is just so necessary because, oh my God, it made so much sense. It made so much sense. Okay. So I'm reading from Matthew 13. Okay. Matthew 13. And I'm going to start at Matthew 13 and 3. Okay. Well, I'm going to start just Matthew 13. Okay. The same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables. So if you are familiar with the Bible, a lot of people may not be, whatever, or the Quran, whatever. You know that in the Bible, when Jesus speaks, he often speaks in what is considered a parable, or in layman terms, a riddle, right? You have to kind of think about what he's saying. What does this mean? What are you trying to articulate, right? So he says, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. And that's just a portion of what I'm about to read to you guys. But it just, in short, I'm gonna say this to you. When Jesus says, he who has ears, let him hear, he's giving you specific instructions. You have this farmer who's just tossing seed everywhere. He's just throwing it everywhere, just hoping it hits somewhere. And he's throwing it and it's feeding some birds. It's going nowhere. It's going other places. But then it actually lands where it is supposed to, in the soil that is prepared for it, in the soil that is right for it. However, the other seeds that were sown were wasted. Right? No crop came from it. And then when he threw it upon a little that has a small amount of soil, yes, it grew up fast, but it had no root. It had no depth. It had nothing at the root level that could actually produce a full harvest. So it withered when the sun came up. But that of which he sowed in the good soil, because he heard, right? He heard the instruction. It reaped. Now listen to this. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? Like, God, why are you talking to us in riddles? Why just tell us what you're trying to say? Because we don't know what you're trying to say. We don't understand. Jesus says, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. That right there, before I even finish, that blessed me. That blessed me, because when God speaks to you, Jesus is speaking to you. When he's speaking to you intentionally, I'm sharing this with you. I'm giving you specific instructions. I'm not telling these instructions to nobody else. I'm not asking them, is it okay for me to tell you that you're going here? I'm not asking them for permission to bless you. I'm not asking them for permission to let you go or to see you grow or to evolve and to bless you the way that I'm about to bless you. I'm speaking to you. So if you have the ears to hear what I'm saying to you, then you'll be blessed. If you don't, it's because it wasn't meant for you. What's for you is for you, right? Let me keep going. Whew. The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Ooh, ooh. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. Oh, why am I about to cry? I'm not. Let me keep going because Let me go. Okay. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of his life and the deceitfulness of the wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. Listen to me when I tell you. When you have sown seeds and you believe in your heart that you have sown that seed in the right space, God will bless you in an abundant, more than you will ever, 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 ever be able to comprehend. So make sure you are hearing him. I'm going to read also, this is going to take the place of the devotion. This is the devotion because we're already 34 minutes, but no, this isn't the devotion. Let me finish. Okay. Whew. I'm going to read to you Mark 10 and 46. This is when Jesus is now in Jericho. right? And he's walking with the disciples and there's large crowds and there's someone screaming out to Jesus, right? This is a man who cannot see, but he believes so deeply that if Jesus hears him, if Jesus sees him, that he would be healed. Now watch what happens. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of God, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." Now imagine you with your people, or the people you think your people, you with them. Okay. We together. I'm screaming out to God, "Help me. Jesus, you see me? Hey, hey." And your people tell you, "Be quiet. Stop. You embarrassing us. Stop. Why you asking? Why you?" Now, it's okay that we out here begging on the street. It's okay that we begging people for handouts. It's okay. But I can't go to who is the Messiah. I can't go to Jesus and I can't see him and ask him for help. Are you too prideful? We too proud, right? He say, "Call him." So they called to the blind man. "Cheer up. On your feet. He's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. Jesus says to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go." Jesus told him to go. "Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Listen to me. Listen to me. It doesn't matter how long you've been sowing. It don't matter how long you've been praying. I don't care how deeply you have been feeling discouraged because things ain't worked out the way that you want them to work out thus far. I want you to hear me and hear me clearly. In your heart, keep believing that it's coming. Keep believing that it's here. Keep believing you're in the right space. Keep believing it's en route. Keep believing, because that's what's going to get you your blessing. Your discipline. The fact that you are unwavering in your faith. The fact that you do not turn your head when folk are telling you to stop. The fact that you don't care what people are saying. You don't care how it looks. You don't care how annoyed other folk may get. You are going to stand steadfast because you know in your heart of hearts that this is happening for you. That God is blessing you. That God is turning this around for you. That all of your blessings are en route and out right here at your door. You just need to know where they are rooting from, right? That is the faith that is going to get you everything you need. So no matter what it looks like, okay, no matter what it looks like, do not lose your faith. Do not lose your faith. Let me go ahead and read this daily devotion for you. Oh, Lord. I'm reading from Moments of Peace in the Presence of God. Oh, Lord. Thank you, God. Here we go. The words that improve. An honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. Proverbs 24 and 26. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. Colossians 3:16. Most people would agree that honesty is the best policy, unless it is honest criticism. That kind of candor is often difficult to take. People respond three ways to criticism. One is to find fault with the messenger. Another is to internalize it so that it destroys our self-esteem. The third way is to take the criticism to God and ask him to reveal the truth in it. In this way, you allow him to teach you and reveal blind spots in your character that need work. Today, remember that honesty really is an excellent policy, especially when it is accompanied by God's grace and truth. Dear God, thank you that honest criticism doesn't have to hurt, but that it can truly improve me. Thank you for gently and lovingly teaching me your truth. Amen. And the evening one is titled, He Hears. The Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Psalm 6, 8 through 9. O Lord, rescue my soul. Save me because of your loving kindness. Psalm 6 and 4. At times you may confide in people, and although they appear to be paying attention, they may not really grasp what you're telling them. They do not comprehend the depth of your emotions or seriousness of your situation. Even if they empathize with you, they will be unable to offer you genuine, lasting relief. Yet, when you call out to God, He truly hears you, even the words you don't say. He understands the pain you feel and is committed to giving you the most effective help with whatever you're facing. Have you taken your troubles to others only to be let down? Then turn your concerns over to God. He's always glad to listen and has promised never to fail you. Trust Him. God, thank you for hearing my prayers, even the wordless ones that come from my heart. Truly, you are my most wonderful confidant, and I praise you. Amen. I am so grateful. I am so grateful. I am so grateful. I am so grateful that we are here doing this together. I'm so proud of you guys. I want you to know that I'm so excited that it's all working out for you. And I'm even more excited that no matter what it looks like, you're coming out on top. I love you guys. I love you guys. I love you guys. Until our next daily devotion, please be gentle with yourself. Please be gentle with others. Please continue to have faith. Please continue to be committed to the process. And please do not give up. You're almost there. You're almost there. It is happening, and it's happening right now. I love you guys. Until our next episode. Bye.